This episode of the 3D Insights podcast is brought to you by SEMI, the leading microelectronics industry association with programs that help its members grow their business and address top challenges worldwide. With a global focus on advocacy, the microelectronics supply chain, sustainability, and workforce development, SEMI works with industry leaders to align goals, share best practices, and accelerate progress. Learn more at semi.org. Hi there. I'm Françoise Von Trapp, and this is the 3D Insights podcast. Hi, everyone. You know, as we've talked about before on this podcast, semiconductor manufacturing is on a path to becoming a trillion-dollar industry somewhere around 2030. There are new fabs being constructed all over the world to meet the growing demand for computer chips. And in the U.S., the CHIPS and Science Act legislation and the promise of a $52 billion investment to fuel onshore manufacturing is driving this growth. But one of the many challenges is building the workforce to support this flourishing industry. In a few weeks, SkyWater's CEO Tom Sonderman will deliver a CEO keynote talk at SEMICON West on how we can create a path to talent. And he's here with us today to talk about it. Welcome to the podcast, Tom.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here to talk with you about this critically important topic for SkyWater, but more importantly, the whole industry as we bring back semiconductor manufacturing to the United States.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation myself. Before we dive in, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what you do at SkyWater?
I've been the leader of SkyWater since we were spun out of Cypress Semiconductor back in 2017. I began my career at AMD, Advanced Micro Devices. AMD, of course, used to be an IDM, an integrated device manufacturer. So we had our own fab, designed our own products, developed our own technology. Then in 2009, I was part of the team that created GlobalFoundries. So I got to go through the spinoff of an IDM into a pure play foundry. And obviously that was an important learning experience as we created SkyWater. And of course, at SkyWater, we have a very unique business model. We call it technology as a service, a technology foundry. And we were created before people started paying attention to semiconductors via the CHIPS Act. But now we're very excited to see the whole nation kind of rallying together to bring back semiconductor manufacturing. And I'm glad to be part of that transition.
Well, you just took me on this major trip down memory lane because that kind of coincides with my own path in this industry. And I so remember the split up of AMD and the creation of GlobalFoundries. And when you talk about Cypress, I think about Deca Technologies. And I know that SkyWater works with Deca. So I love like putting all of these pieces together because it is essentially a very tight-knit industry.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes the industry work is we embrace collaboration, innovative collaboration. And it's an interesting dynamic because back in the 90s, when I joined this industry, it was booming here in the U.S. and the equipment industry was really coming on strong, the design automation community. And then, of course, we had lots of fabs in the U.S., again, that developed and manufactured their own products. So as we got into the 2000s and we saw this evolution into Asia and the fabless foundry model, it was somewhat disappointing to me to watch all the semiconductor know-how and talent in manufacturing be repositioned. And now that we're able to bring that back, I think it's going to not only be great for the nation, but it's going to allow a whole new generation of individuals, leaders, to really build the semiconductor ecosystem of the future. And there's now a committed nation to doing this over the next 20, 30 years. And so the things we do over the next 5 years will really impact not only companies like SkyWater, but the whole country for many years to come.
Yeah, I do think that there's a lot of discussion about how challenging it's going to be to bring some of that manufacturing back after we shipped it offshore, right? But that's not what we're talking about today. And I'd love to talk about that with you sometime.
Sure.
But the legislation has put the industry's workforce development in the spotlight. But this doesn't a new issue. I mean, I remember Semicon West before COVID already getting on board about workforce development and the importance of bringing more talent into the industry globally, not just in the United States, to fuel this growing industry. So how do you think we got to this point of being in a shortage?
Yeah, I think, again, if you think about where our strengths are, design, equipment, development, and manufacturing, from a software perspective, we're clearly the leaders in the world, companies like Synopsys. So I think we got in a situation because people stopped investing in building new fabs in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And we started moving into this fabless foundry model. It was also tied and coincided with the movement to kind of the smartphone era. Back in the PC era, when AMD, Intel, you know, were really going at it, everybody owned their own fabs. Then when you had NVIDIA and Qualcomm, the fabless companies started coming at it. And then Apple started designing their own chips. It really then amplified and created, frankly, the Asia Foundry system that we all leverage and use today. So core manufacturing talent really had no place to go to grow and develop careers. So maintenance technicians, who are the heart and soul of the fab, the ones who actually keep the tools, these very complicated tools that we use to make these integrated circuits, they were in very short supply. Even back at Global Foundries, when we were building a fab up in upstate New York, we lacked maintenance technicians. We had to go all over the country to find them. And one area where we were very successful is the veteran community. Mm-hmm. That really became a catalyst for bringing in that type of well-trained, well-disciplined, and not afraid of complicated operational environments into the mix. And that's certainly what we do at SkyWater. I think there's just a lot of fresh thinking that's needed around the technician level. Of course, engineering, we, you know, one study has said we need 50,000 engineers over the next 5 to 10 years. Well, we don't produce that many engineers going into semiconductors anymore. So universities like Purdue with the semiconductor degrees program are now committed to developing that talent. There's other universities. That's kind of the core. And then you got to build, you know, the business know-how, all the other pieces around it. But getting that core manufacturing workforce development is going to be critical over the next several years.
Yeah. And I think there's other areas too. I mean, engineers are just part of it, right? And you talked about the technicians. I'm a little surprised because I was actually expecting you to say that part of the workforce shortage is because so many of the graduates are going off for sexier type tech jobs in places like Google, you know, on the software side, app development. And we really haven't done a really great job of building up the opportunities in the semiconductor industry at that level. But what you're talking about is even what's going to encourage people to go into a career path that taking them the technician route and working in the fabs or the sub fabs.
I think you're right. The whole STEM angle is certainly, I would call that an evolving issue. We have a lot of STEM education in the US. As people graduate going into computer science, data science, that's clearly become a much more highly sought after career path than semiconductor manufacturing. Mm-hmm. And on the design side, you know, if you're going to be a EE electrical engineer, you're going to go into design, or you're going to go into software. And even with electrical engineering, a lot of the enrollment at a lot of universities has been going down because they choose to go to computer science, computer engineering, other disciplines, building servers versus creating semiconductor manufacturing solutions in a fab. So what I see is there's kind of a need across the board. One, we need to lift the overall STEM community, but then we need to make it attractive to show, you know, the really exciting things we do inside fabs. And so, for example, in our fab in Florida, we actually have a STEM school right next door. And it's part of the unique new models that I think are being put in place. The whole operation was built by Osceola County to bring in and create high-tech jobs. So everything was, from the inception, was about workforce development. Of course, they're very close to Disney, where our fab is, in Kissimmee, Florida. So what they did was built a STEM school, and they built a fab, and we run that fab. And the STEM students are part of our internship programs. They do work inside the fab while they're in class, formal intern programs over the summer. This is all about getting people excited about working in the fab. You asked me about my input. The way I got into this industry was through an intern experience, and I got involved with making the raw silicon wafers that we use in our industry. And that exposed me to the industry and then moved into a career for me that I never left. I was at a very young age. I was still going to college, and you kind of see this world open up. So I think part of the strategy has to be awareness, creating not only a broader STEM pool, but also giving people a chance, again, even on the maintenance side, to do apprenticeships so that maybe they come in out of the military, they want to get a two-year degree. We have them work at SkyWater. We have this program today, and they're actually getting their degree so they can even be a more sophisticated maintenance technician, what we call a maintenance specialist. And at the same time, SkyWater is working with them to get that two-year degree. So I think a lot of it is out-of-the-box thinking, growing the engineering talent, capturing the maintenance technician talent, and doing it in a way where it's not necessarily we're going to need less designers, less people going into software, because that demand will continue to grow. But it's making the manufacturing career path as attractive as it was when many of us entered it back in the 90s, when we were building a lot of fabs here in the U.S.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point. You started talking about the two-year programs and apprenticeships. And I think there might be a misconception that you need a 4 or 8 year degree to be in this industry. But, you know, I've talked to people who have said, you know, PhDs are great, but PhDs don't want to work in the fab. They want to develop the processes, but we need people who, you know, can work machines, run the fab. That doesn't take a 4 year degree.
There's clearly a spectrum. And whether it's someone who comes out of high school, works at SkyWater, maybe starting out as a technician, working on their four-year degree, then becomes an engineer and goes forward, are someone who actually we hire because they have a very unique specialty as a PhD. We do have a lot of PhDs that work in a fab at SkyWater. We do a lot of technology development here.
Right.
But that said, you need all of it. I would even say BS degrees for an engineer, that's expected. Now it's really moving up to you need a master's degree, because there's degrees of specialization, or having a electrical engineering degree and a chemical engineering degree, or, you know, what's, again, Purdue's doing with their semiconductor degrees program, which allows you to get your EE or Chem-E degree or materials engineering degree, but then also get certificates for semiconductor know-how that complement your degree. And eventually that will become a master's program and then a PhD program. But one of the things you're exactly right on is you need all types of people in fabs. You need, manufacturing engineers that work on shift that help solve the day-to-day problems. And you need PhDs, master's type engineers that are working on the technologies of the future. And you need people that understand how to translate design into manufacturing processes, what we call integration engineers, yield engineers. These are all disciplines. In many ways, the fabless engineering community, in many ways, and how fabless companies engage with the foundry community, was formed by people that used to work in fabs. That's where the career trajectory went. And I think you can see a lot of that come back the other way, where people that worked at fabless companies can now come back into the manufacturing side and bring that design know-how, a lot of that customer know-how. Because the key, again, isn't just building fabs that support one customer. If you look at us, you look at Global Foundries, you look at Intel Foundry Services, it's all about creating a manufacturing ecosystem. So all of us as an industry have to inspire students to want to go get degrees in the disciplines that feed our semiconductor industry.
Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
You know, you touched on some of your programs, and I don't want to give away your keynote talk, But can you describe some of the programs that you've launched at SkyWater in a little more detail?
Yeah, great question. And again, I think, you know, I'll give two kind of data points. When SkyWater was created in 2017, we were literally the only newly formed U.S. owned and operated semiconductor foundry. And so we were trying to excite people to come, you know, kind of back into this space. And recruiting was, you know, a challenge, but we also didn't have a very complicated recruiting market because not a lot of people were building fabs in the U.S. at the time. And then when you get post-COVID and post-CHIPS bill, now you hear about fabs going up all over the country. And so creative thinking has been part of the strategy at SkyWater. How can we differentiate? We're a small, you know, six-year-old company, lots of, you know, exciting technologies that we're developing. Certainly one area that I think I'll be speaking about that we're very proud of and one that we talked about earlier is the military and getting veterans to be part of the foundation of how we build the technician community and even the engineering community over the next several years. So programs like VetWorks, where individuals provide their experiences to other veterans in terms of how they transition from a career in the military to a career in companies like SkyWater. And we are committed to providing the training, again, the apprenticeship program that I mentioned, where we take people who have a core skill set, but we're willing to work with them as they get their degrees to become more capable in terms of their ability to specialize and deliver the capabilities we're looking for. And then another one that we're very excited about is the scholarship program that we put in place with one of our principal owners at SkyWater, Oxbow Industries, to essentially draw in students and do what we just talked about earlier, get them exposed to semiconductor manufacturing by letting them find out who SkyWater is by offering them scholarships. So we had over 1,000 applicants for our scholarship program. 10 students were chosen. Those students immediately become aware of SkyWater, typically aligning what they're getting their degree in to the types of students we need. And so you're kind of building an awareness, a brand awareness, and you're developing and helping students get engineering degrees. And we couldn't be more proud of that program. And then finally, you know, we have a what we call an industry immersion program that we did with Navy Crane. Navy Crane is a sponsor for one of our programs that we work with the DoD on. And they had a PhD student who works, you know, for the Navy actually come to SkyWater as an intern, spend time in our fab, actually immerse herself in what it is we do as a manufacturing company. Again, manufacturing capabilities for the U.S. government, but also for the commercial sector. And, you know, one of the data points that came back is this individual learned enough in a 18-month internship to kind of complement what it took, you know, maybe 4+ years to get through a normal Navy experience, because they just don't get exposed to what life is like inside a semiconductor facility. So the ability to have that immersive learning, the ability to have early engagement through STEM programs, and the ability to tap into, whether it's a high school student or a veteran that is retiring from the military and looking for the next phase of their career, getting early access to that whole community, I think is what's going to be different. And certainly is what SkyWater is doing today. And you know, part of my talk will be to encourage others, because we have to do this as an industry as we bring the demand curve down for the workforce development, because we don't want to spend a bunch of money on building fabs if we don't have people to work in them, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. So as part of the scholarship program, just a quick question. Are you working with specific universities, or are these scholarships open to high school graduates? Is there certain requirements?
It goes through Scholarship America. Scholarship America takes all the applicants. What we do is, you know, obviously provide the funding mechanism, and we put a general set of criteria together. Whether they're a SkyWater employee or anybody, we have the first round of winners literally from all over the country. Mm-hmm. The exciting part for me is they got the scholarship, but they also all begin to reach out to me and others at SkyWater, not only thanking them for the scholarship, but wanting to get more aware of what we do at Scholarship. We've had questions already about doing internships. So it's doing what I described earlier. It's creating an awareness. When you apply for the scholarship, you're going to want to know who SkyWater is. And if you get the scholarship, you're going to want to be able to take advantage of SkyWater in addition to the funding that may come because of the unique things we're doing. And I think awareness is key. We need to do a better job as an industry to market what it is we do. We make the things that go into all the devices we all use every day. We like to say we make things every day that make all of our lives better. When people can connect the dots on that, it's not just, you know, making a silicon wafer in a fab. It's about creating a new technology that can do traumatic brain injury detection. And you're part of the team that brings that product to reality and transforms, you know, kids' lives, military personnel lives. These are things you can get excited about. And I think that's the way we need to approach this.
I have one last question. SkyWater, where does the name come from?
SkyWater. So the name SkyWater comes from a Native American term that means Minnesota. Our Bloomington fab is right next to the Minnesota River. Think of it as Minnesota technology. Yeah. The thing that makes the name SkyWater unique is it implies kind of a fresh way of thinking. While the name came from a heritage, we also embraced it because it had a lot to do with what we believe we were doing as a company. The idea of reflecting the sky into the water and reflecting our customers' needs and our customer requirements, because we're a service company. We don't make our own products. And being able to translate that into something was also part of the backdrop.
So your headquarters are in Minnesota, Bloomington, Minnesota. You have a location in Florida, and that I think is your packaging facility.
That's right.
Any other locations?
No current locations. We did announce a potential chips-enabled fab with Purdue in West Lafayette, Indiana last summer. And so we're, of course, pursuing that. This would be a new greenfield fab on the campus of Purdue. Again, another example of fresh thinking that SkyWater is bringing. Not building a fab in the middle of nowhere, but literally building it on a university campus so that those students we've been talking about can have a place to do internships, can have a place to get exposed to semiconductor manufacturing, and also leverage the great ecosystem that Purdue already has with the Burke Nanotechnology Center, the commitment of Purdue to develop semiconductor degrees. So this is, I guess, a final important message is, everybody needs to get into the new paradigm in terms of how we're going to kind of recapture the lead in semiconductor manufacturing and out of the box thinking, doing things differently, breaking protocols or norms like putting a fab on a campus. Many people wouldn't think of that. These are what I think is going to really take us to the next level. Osceola County deciding to build a fab through a bond offering to bring high-tech jobs. That's the community getting involved. You're going to see a lot of that. And we certainly, for all of our chips-related initiatives, are working with state, local, and federal governments, public-private partnerships to bring a lot of what has been envisioned to reality.
Great. Well, I look forward to your talk because I will be sitting there in the audience. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. And really enjoy the conversation. Look forward to seeing you in San Francisco.
Hi, podcast listeners. Our June 29th episode will feature conversations on the hot topic of chip-to-wafer hybrid bonding. Mark your calendars to tune in and be sure to follow us wherever you get your favorite podcasts. From July 11th to the 13th, we'll be recording live at the Moscone Center as the official podcast of Semicon West. So please stop by the Media Hub to say hello and pick up an Are You Listening sticker. We're also offering sponsorship opportunities to help you get your company's message out to the microelectronics industry. For details, drop me a line. My email link is in the show notes. There's lots more to come, so tune in next time to the 3D Insights Podcast. The 3D Insights Podcast is a production of 3D Insights, LLC.